This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sterny's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily is powered by good old White Draws. That's right, white underwear. Today, particularly Nike White Draws from Academy Sports and Outdoors. Hashtag White Draws Wednesday. Y'all, I got them on. I was feeling a little risky this morning. I said, you know what? They're clean. They're in that top drawer right there, and I'm going to see if I can't be an adult today. I'm going to see if I can't keep from soiling my britches today and just go ahead and rock the White Draws.
Shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors, by the way. The wife, she went out there and put together some of the Halloween costumes. She got a new bike helmet. She went out there and got a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, wearing out that gift card, huh?
You know it.
I hear you, man.
It wasn't our bank account.
Have you thought any more about the white underwear, wearing a pair of white underwear?
Clint, I'm out, man. I told you already.
Are you scared of it?
I'm not scared of it. I'm
making
not,
it a thing. White Draws Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm not as confident.
Get you a pair. Tell Courtney to get you a pair over there at Academy Sports.
I don't always have a great day.
I mean, is that really where you're at?
I don't always.
Like you're worried about soiling your britches if there's.
Don't always have a great. Not even soiling.
Do you not wipe well?
I mean, sometimes you don't have a great day. Sometimes you misjudge. Right, and I feel better with dark black.
You feel better
gray.
If they're just black and funky black instead of white
dark,
and funky.
What I got a little dry. I think I got a little gray on today.
Let's see what you're working with. Well, I mean, you're gonna see those just like if it was white.
Nah, it's different if it's white.
I mean, that's light gray.
And then they can come out. That white, that might stay in there.
Oh man,
hang in there.
I tell you, I'm making it. I'm gonna see if I can't make it a thing.
I don't know why you want
to. I think all the fellas out there that got the guts to actually go back to the old school and wear some white underwear, not try to hide all your filthy nastiness. How about you strive to be a little cleaner throughout the day? I think it's a good thing. I think your wives will appreciate it. I think your kids will appreciate it. I think your sex life is liable to improve due to it. So white draws Wednesday.
Sex life is to improve with white.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to imagine if you are not wearing white underwear because you're worried about how nasty you are. I got to believe your wife is fully aware of it. Not yours in particular, but it does apply, I guess, if you're scared of them. I got to believe that your nastiness is probably not doing anything good for attractiveness.
I just want the nastiness to be the other way and not the other type of nastiness and not just like. Ooh,
well, yeah, but
rough
I mean,
one that day.
One affects the other. I mean, if you're
that
coming
tough,
in
tough wedgie that day,
if you're coming in constantly with skid marks in your britches, I would imagine it's a bit of a turn.
Yeah, it's not constant, but the white ones are so much.
It's
more
so much so that
see,
you won't wear white underwear,
and they stay. They linger.
Tyler, are you of that group? Like, are you nervous to wear white underwear?
Because he's an adult.
I'm not. No, I've been thinking about this a lot because we've been talking.
I mean,
about
I have too. Clearly, Ron doesn't. He's just thrown in the towel. He's just going to be nasty and soil his britches.
I'm not. Nasty. I'm just not wearing white drawers.
I haven't purposefully avoided white underwear like in my adulthood. But I haven't owned any in years upon years upon years. And I think it's just because the underwear I buy, the boxer briefs that I like to sport, they don't sell them in white, really. Like, none of these, like, big name brand, like, boxer brief people, I don't see white ones. They're all different colors.
I tell you, I think you need to get a pair, and I think Wednesday grown men are going to wear white underwear. That's what we're going to do around here from now on. You're going to at least be clean for one day out of the week on hump day.
I'm clean.
No.
You know, 30
You've already
30
let
days.
The cat out of the bag.
I'm clean 28. 29 days out of the month.
I ain't got no mud butt.
Some days you're moving quick.
I'm telling you, we're going to start every Wednesday. You're going to have to clean it up for four days a month.
Text line talking about y'all too old to have skid marks. Y'all ass is lying. You didn't have a bad day.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Get out of here.
You didn't have a wedgie.
You didn't have a bad day. Get out of here.
Ron, I've thought about this a lot. I've had a lot of conversations with grown men. I've had all eight. This is not a generational thing. This is not a a preference thing. This is there. It is clear. Like, it is no doubt about it. Men have gone the route of not wearing white underwear because they're afraid of skid marks, because they're afraid of it being seen, which I think probably sheds a bigger light on the problem. I think
I ain't ever scared.
You can even slide your skid marks into your closet now.
I've shoved some drawers to the bottom of the hamper.
It also helps smother the smell.
Hey, damn, Ron. Wow, what happened?
What happened right here? Hey, what, did Courtney catch him?
I don't know. She probably seen. She's probably come across, but it happened.
Hey, man, look.
But, David, you don't double it up by wearing white drawers.
Just Wednesdays. You can go with your little light gray underwear. You can do that. That'll work too.
I got my gray.
Quick reminder, you can wear your white drawers if you want to Thursday and Friday, too. We're at Thirsty Thursdays. We'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Cypress off 290. Y'all come on up, Buffalo Wild Wings. Thirsty Thursday. We've got all kind of giveaways right there. Bud Light. Big shout out to Bud Light for making that happen. This is a cool one here. On Friday, Football Fridays, big shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors and our Houston area Ford dealers, Tomball Ford to be exact. Raven Tower, 310 North Street in Houston, up here, I believe it's on up off I-10 way, I believe, but it's 310 North Street. I think, Tyler, isn't that the old White Oak music venue?
Ooh, you know, now you say that, I believe that's correct.
It's literally like a tower with a room up on the top of it, and the White Oak, or the venue, is downstairs. Used to that, you go up in that tower and I think watch the concert.
Yeah, I believe you are correct. I hadn't thought of that, but I remember someone mentioning it used to be the old White Oak.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. I'm excited about that. That looks like a cool setup. So Raven Tower, 310 North Street in Houston. We'll be there for a Football Friday, so come on through and check us out. Before we react to D'Amico and C.J. Stroud's audio, can we please talk about one thing that happened Sunday that I feel I can't believe I've let it slide to Wednesday?
I can't wait to hear what you're talking about.
Has anybody confirmed B. Scott's story? For our listeners out there.
Joe Mixon?
Yes. I'm pretty sure folks have heard about it and talked about it. But the fact that we just keep it moving and don't, I mean, this is stop traffic type of stuff. Joe Mixon apparently was at the game on Sunday in the stands, so much so on the escalator. He's on the escalator, about four or five people in front of Brandon Scott. Now look, I've seen players decide that they don't want to be on the sideline, so they're going to go up in a suite. And they're going to go up and down the elevator. And I know some suites you can use the escalator. I get it. But are we just going to overlook the fact that Joe Mixon, who is still getting paid millions of dollars by the Texans, said, "No, I ain't going to be on the sideline with the team. I'm not going to be down on the team. I'm not going to be in the press box with the coaches or anything like that, or the general manager. I'm not going to be in the owner's suite," which, by the way, seats about 400 people up there. It could have very easily been done. "I'm not going to do that. I'm going to put street clothes on, and I'm going to go to the game."
I heard that. I heard B. Scott, and I heard that conversation, but I didn't see him. That would be something. And I'm surprised. Maybe I wonder if D'Amico wasn't asked about that, or anybody else asked about
He was asked about Joe Mixon. I remember.
But I don't think he was asked. Yeah, Monday, but I don't think. I wonder, was he at the game? More specific to that, I wonder if he addressed
it. If I remember the question correctly, it was Joe Mixon was at the game. Do you have any update on Joe Mixon? And he said nope and kept it moving.
Mm.
If I remember correctly, that's how that went. But for those out there thinking, because, I mean, I was still hoping there was an outside shot that Joe Mixon would come back to some degree and at least be the Trent Brown of the running back group and be around and help these guys. I mean, look, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a to me, it's fractured beyond return.
If that, yeah.
You're paying me $10 million. And I'm not going to come stand on the sideline with my team in team-issued gear. I'm going to sit my ass in a suite or up in the stands with everybody else in street clothes and walk around on this bum foot that I got that's keeping me from playing with you. And everybody's just going to act like it's no big deal. Yeah, that, I mean, what kind of mindset, what frame of mind, if you're Joe Mixon, do you have to be in of like, yeah, I'm going to go watch the squad play. I'm going to go to the game and sit in the stands or in a suite.
Yeah, nobody's seen him. Nobody's heard from him. Yeah, that is something. That is it is a kind of surprise that hadn't kind of been talked about as much. I guess D'Amico kind of shut it down and it wasn't talked about as much. But yeah, he doesn't sound like he's anywhere close to being on the field.
Right.
We haven't seen him in the practice.
Right. To me personally, this is more. I mean, I wouldn't when I was a third string quarterback and or a practice squad quarterback and was able to go to a game, I'd be like, yeah, no, I believe I'll be on the sideline. I believe I'll put some gear on and be with the team. I mean, this is more concerning to me than like the reaction we're getting from D'Amico from a standpoint of like clearly D'Amico's annoyed. I don't know if he's more annoyed with Joe Mixon or the local reporters.
Guys, good.
Like, this bothers me a bit. I mean, this is one of those. If I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm answering questions now. You done come to a game and sat in the stands and going up and down the escalator with the fans and stuff, and while we're paying you $9-10 million. Like now we gotta get beyond this. This is plum silly.
Now he's coming to brought himself out.
Well, but think about it, like I said,
what did dig a little deeper on that?
Where do you have to be mindset wise if you're Joe Mixon? Hey man, just sit at the crib and watch football all day, man. Invite everybody over to your place, man. Have a suite with the biggest TV you could imagine right at your crib. Instead, you come to the game
first one.
That's wild to me, Ron. I mean that is it's almost like a.
I mean, you think he? I wonder. In any way, was this done against the Texans once?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Where it leads me to believe is that there's no communication. When you couple it with what D'Amico Ryans has said, or you know, kind of how he's phrased things and the tone that he's used, it screams that he had a deal probably for his family in a suite up there. It worked into his contract, and or seats or something. And there's probably not any communication, so he's going to just go up there and sit with his people in this suite and be seen out and about, which you would think that it would be a distraction just to be seen, not to mention everything else that comes with it. This is something that I can't believe, because I heard about it. Well, hell, B. Scott walked up there and told me about it, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's interesting. But the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, that is really strange that he would choose to do that by choice.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what I do wonder what the, because like you said, how quick D'Amico answered it. If he were there and the Texans were good, what do you think you'd get a little bit more from D'Amico because of how important?
Well, I mean, you don't even want to be around the team when you are in town and when you are going to the game and when all you got to do is walk down a tunnel with the squad. Maybe that was the deal. They didn't want him standing on his feet the whole game.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be a real finger. To them, if he did, if he went up there without, you know, them knowing, I just can't believe that is the case.
It's interesting, but I didn't want to let that week go by any longer before we talked about that again. I want a quick reminder for everybody out there. One, make sure you downloaded the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Download the Odyssey app, keep it on your hip, and take it everywhere you go. That way, you can pop on and listen to us anytime D'Amico speaks, CJ speaks. Or anytime you just want to catch some good sports talk, a little good radio being done over here. Again, 290 in Cypress, Buffalo Wild Wings, Thursday. And Raven Tower, 310 North Street for that that football Friday. We got to keep that thing rolling. And with a home game, the environment there will be even better.
Yeah, it will be. All right, coming up as we continue, there's some news here that came out of the NFL. A big, big move made. And yes, I believe this is a move that will potentially affect the Houston Texans. We'll discuss that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Bite the kneecap off.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back to The Drive. Thank you for riding with us today. If you missed it, you want to check it back out on the podcast page. D'Amico Ryan spoke to the media earlier today. You can find that around 2:40. And then C.J. Stroud spoke to the media around 3:40. You can hear what they had to say. Somebody we didn't hear from, but I think is in that that big group of important players, that small group of not players, but important pieces to this organization. I think he got affected today. You see that old Aiden Hutchinson?
Got him a new deal, didn't he?
The Lions gave him a 4-year, $180 million extension. He now gets $141 in guarantees. His $45 million average salary trails only Green Bay's Micah Parsons at 46.5 among non-quarterbacks. He went out there and got a big shot. And I do think, as I said, Will Anderson, this affects Will Anderson. Before going into that, Clint, you surprised that Aiden Hutchinson has been this good? If you remember, I remember the draft. I think.
Yeah, I wasn't as high on him.
Aiden Hutchinson, that draft, that's I think the Derek Stingley draft. I believe that is the.
Correct.
I remember we were at the.
Yeah.
At that outdoor amphitheater over here, right?
Yeah, thank God Jacksonville drafted Walker. Texans fans. But Walker went one, and Hutch went two, and then Stingley went three. But I thought he would be good. I'm surprised that we've reached this point. I think he's clearly one of the 10 best defensive players in the league. And maybe closer towards the five range. He's definitely a top five pass rusher. And he is clearly the guy that everybody looks and focuses in game plans against the Lions. And he still gets through. He completely deserved this. I didn't think he was going to be bad. I thought he would be a solid, like, second tier 8.5 to 10 sack type of guy. I didn't think he'd be a game changer.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, how do you... I mean, most guys aren't, you know. I mean, it's like that's why he got 4 years, 180. Most guys don't work out to this degree. We've got one here in Will Anderson. I mean,
when Will came out, you thought Will was going to be good, right?
No, I really liked Will as a defensive player, and you know, I didn't know where exactly he was going to play, because if you remember when he came out, he had a unique skill set, and you don't really know exactly how and where, what system he's going to fit. Is it a 4-3 or 3-4? And you know, and so I liked him to be a good player. I wasn't going to stand up and beat my chest about him being the best pass rusher in football. I wasn't going to stand up and beat my chest about him being one of the best defensive ends in the game, because you look at defending the run and being able to rush the passer, just being a guy that creates a ton of chaos. I mean, Will's in the top 3 or 4 in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, I didn't, you know, predicting whether these guys when they're drafted are going to be market-setting talents by their 3rd or 4th year, I think is a losing battle, because only a handful of them do it. But yeah, Aiden Hutchinson has earned every bit of it. Will Anderson has earned every bit of it. And you're right. This is, I mean, I think Will is going to be in this range, 45, 46, 47 a year.
Yeah, but there are certain guys that get drafted early. You're like, yeah, he's probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Like he's probably going to be pretty good. I thought him and Walker would be a bit similar. And what Walker has been, I thought Hutchinson could be a little bit better of a pass rusher.
Yeah.
But what Walker has been, a solid defensive end. He's going to start. He's going to play and maybe start in the league for 10 years plus. But, you know, this guy is, I mean, they've got a guy trending towards maybe a Hall of Fame type of career. And I didn't think that was going to be the case. And you said that, right, as Will is at, he's at 46, or at 45, only 46 and a half with Micah Parsons is the most. When you look at this, because Will Anderson, I heard Reggie say this early, and I agree with him. He's maybe the most confident player that Texans fans, and I would even say Texans front office, like young player they have. I think Will Anderson is the most confident player they have the most confidence in to be able to be a guy moving forward, even more than CJ. I think CJ's value is bigger. But if you say to me, who's a guy that you know is going to be really, really good? I think Will Anderson is probably at the top of that list. You think he gets more than Hutchinson, or you think like he is starting to get into the range of there's Parsons, there's Hutchinson, and then he comes under that, or do you think he goes over?
I think if he wants to, I think he goes over both of them.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's deservedly in the top 5 or 6, right? It's his time, and so that's going to bump him up over some of the guys anyway, because it's his contract coming up, and he's the next up. And so then you got to go beyond that. This is a guy that you can absolutely build your champ, what you would expect to be a championship caliber football team around. This is a guy that is the most important player in your building, unless you've got an alpha quarterback, which I just don't believe CJ is going to be that guy as it comes to developing the team and the roster and affecting and leading. And I think Will is that guy for the Houston Texans moving forward. The question here is Will a guy that says, you know, hey, look, I don't need to set the mark? Is Will a guy that understands that, you know, a couple million dollars a year off of his deal could impact somebody else in a major, major way and could mean, hey, we get to keep somebody else around versus lose them to another team? Does he take that approach? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't. I'd get that money on that first contract. But
I would have thought Hutchinson would have gone over.
I would have too.
That's the only thing. Like that's kind of the surprise there. If this is the deal of, all right, Micah's up here, and everybody's got to come under.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Will is a guy that, again, just by his play, deserves to be in the conversation. And then when you look at what he means to D'Amico, you look at what he means to the Houston Texans. This is a guy that, I mean, he's cut from the J.J. Watt cloth. I mean, he's a guy that you view as, if I'm ownership, I'm going to do everything I can to keep him in a Texans uniform until he can't play no more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's who Will Anderson is. And you're, like, to your point, I think as an organization, you are really confident in who he is, what he brings to the table, what he could mean to the organization, what he means to the fan base. That is a face of the franchise player in Will Anderson in every sense of the phrase. And so, yeah, I mean, they got to do whatever they got to do to keep him here.
Yeah. Big night tonight for Ryan Hollins.
Why is that?
Tyler, as you know, the Rockets got Grady Dick tonight.
Oh boy, he's got to keep that phrase.
Didn't Ryan Hollins have to make an apology for?
Yeah.
That is correct.
The Grady Dick situation.
Yeah, somebody got dick in the face, Craig.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
See if he's okay.
God, he is somewhere in a Toronto hotel. Shout out to him. Saw him at the dentist, at the kids' dentist. As both of our kids were getting teeth.
And you're up there living amongst all the big money folks, yeah, man.
He's a lot taller, and his kids are a lot taller than my kids. But shout out to him. But I bet he is in a Toronto hotel somewhere. All right, let me make sure. He ought to just call him Grady.
Yeah, somebody got dick in the face, Craig.
Yeah, just call him Grady.
That was such a great moment.
Just don't put it in the face. I mean, you just don't. You can't talk about Grady and his last name and his face.
But it's so much easier if you just go, oh man, Grady got hit in the face.
See if he's okay.
When you're calling the game, you can't go by first name.
Yeah, you can.
No.
Not with that one, you can.
I mean, you just can't. You can't. If he happens to put him in somebody's face or it in somebody's face, you can't talk about it.
You know, they've said he has to stop jersey switching. I don't think they're allowing him to do the jersey
They were
swap.
Doing some good ones.
Yeah.
They had so many.
There was a guy who played at Arkansas. His last name was Black.
Yeah, that's yeah. the one I remember.
Yeah. I can't remember his first name. He had big hair, but that's
yeah, big hair, light skinned dude. Yeah,
it has Black, guard. Black and Grady, except it had Grady's last name right next to each other.
I mean, that's not a rule. Why would you, of all the stuff that goes on?
Derek
in sport,
White. Yeah. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What other jersey swap name would fit perfectly to stand next to Grady and his last name? Who else would you like to see standing? There was those guys at West Virginia the guy's last name was Twig and the other guy's name was Barry. They would constantly sit next to each other.
Great.
Yeah. Who else in the league would you that's one that Adam Silver, the human penis himself, that Adam Silver does not want to see do a jersey swap and hold the photo up like he saw Black Grady. If it wasn't Grady.
We had a Casey Dick was a quarterback at Arkansas, and then Clark Moore was a linebacker.
What would they do? They
would stand next to each other. But it was there was a third one, and I can't remember it. If you look it up online, it pops up. It was a great picture. There's another last name that fits into the Moore, and I can't remember exactly how they did it, but it was classic.
Is there a little?
It was good.
Oh, good.
Our deep snapper was Brett Good, but it was spelt good. So it was Moore Good.
Trey Man.
Man, that's a good one. That's a good one. Is there somebody? There's got to be a little. There's got to be. Leonard Little's got to have a kid in the league or something. So, all right, coming up, let's react to some of the things D'Amico and Reggie's letting us know. Yeah, Anthony Black. Anthony Black. Yeah, I was going to say Tony Black. If Drew Rudy Holiday. Gay, if Rudy Gay was still in the league, that would be a tough one. we'll react to what D'Amico had to say and CJ in regards to this matchup against the Broncos. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, the text line obviously is getting creative. Reggie Atitula is as well. Hear him every day on In the Loop from 10 to 2. Nasir Little used to be in the league, but Nasir Little is no longer in the league. So that would be a great switch. I don't know how I forgot. Someone texted in, OMG, James Harden. That could be an interesting one there.
Not a bad one.
Put Grady first, then put James next. Let's hold the jerseys up. And
I like Drew Holiday to get you in the spirit for the season.
A little holiday action, huh? Little holiday Grady could be it. Yeah.
That is good. That's a good one, T.
Tonight, Aaron Holiday. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, that'd be the lease of Adam. I wish Adam Silver had a jersey. He could put his in front of Grady's, too. Have an old Silver Grady. But that's.
What about Jaylen Brown?
Yep. Any colors work. Green ones, that'll work. White, Derek White. That's a good one. Marcus Smart. Put Smart.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that you could have some fun with. Not bad. Guys, just stay in the NBA.
Terrence Mann.
Yep. Terrence Mann would work.
Caldwell Pope.
Kevin Love. That's a good one.
How about old Danny Wolf?
Yeah.
Small Wolf piece.
Yeah, let Wolf stand in front of Grady. Let Kevin Love and Grady stand.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Some girls do.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. All right. good exercise there.
I think we should do that once a week, that exercise.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't know about the Ball brothers. I don't know about LaMelo and Lonzo. That didn't...
Yeah, I thought of that. It doesn't
that
work.
That ain't it. Yeah. Ball Grady, that ain't it.
It would have to be plural.
Yeah.
Well, you could put both the names of the two Balls on top of each other and kind of insinuate it needs to be plural.
The late Pat Summitt. Boy, I wish she could go by her maiden name.
What was her maiden name?
Head.
Oh, wow. Well, Richard Head, huh?
That's her dad's name. Real life, her dad's name was Richard Head.
Yeah, somebody got d*** in the face, Craig.
Look out for it. Yep. Yep, we're not going David Ortiz's nickname in front of it. All right. D'Amico spoke early again. If you missed that, he spoke around 2:40. You can check that out on the podcast page. And I know this caught your ears, Clint. D'Amico talked about facing that defense, that defensive line that the Denver Broncos can bring forth.
Yeah, Coach Joseph, he does an unbelievable job of bringing a variety of pressures every single week. You have to be ready. Again, all your protection rules get tested. Vance does a really good job of knowing how to stress your protection and where the weak points are. So we know we're going to get strained in that area. So it's going to take all 11 again, whether that's the backs stepping up in protection, tight ends, our lines, and quarterbacks. Proper way, like we feel like we can have some plays. But again, you may think it's one thing. He does a good job of just disguising and mixing things up. Always had, you know, a ton of respect for Coach Vance. Like, was able to spend a year with him here as our secondary coach. I learned a lot under Coach Vance and how he teaches his players. Like, one of the best coaches in the NFL.
There's a lot there, but the part that I just, you know, I think is ultimately, we can talk about this game six ways to Sunday, which we will on Sports Radio 610 leading up to the game. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to Texans can ID what they're doing on the defense. They're going to have some good plays. I believe that. That's a big if. Now, it's a big if because at the end of the day, this has been the issue with the Texans is the ability to identify a lot of the issues that everybody talks about with the O-line and the protection, and a lot of the issues as I see it is more about IDing and communicating than it is about offensive linemen that are skilled or technique and mechanics or, you know, all the crap that's being talked about. It's about, can you ID it? Do you know who's coming? Can you use some level of triggers that we see the NFL quarterbacks across the league use, where you use a fake motion or a fake count to where they give away they give away who's going to bail and who's coming, and that way you can shift your protection and boom, you got them right where you want them. Can they ID? We can talk about all you want. We can talk about Patrick Surtain being out. We can talk about this, that. Can the Texans offensively ID what the hell the defense is doing in the front? And if they can, whether it's run plays or it's pass plays and protections, they will be able to move the football. They'll be able to score some points.
So you
if
think
they can't do that, it's going to be a long.
You think day. They? You think if they can diagnose what they're doing, they'll be able to hold up enough.
I think that's physically. A story. I think that's the story the rest of the year for the Texans. I think every good opponent that has pieces and a good play caller, they are going not pieces as in Grady, pieces as in players, like the different parts of a defense.
Oh, I didn't know.
You know, they're going to do what D'Amico just said Denver's defense is going to do, which is find the weak points, which is communicate an ID, a lot of moving around the line of scrimmage, a lot of disguising. We are going to see that. And we're not going to win football games versus good opponents until we have the ability to win that battle more than we lose it. There's going to be in a game where a defense is going to consistently do it, they're going to get you. They're going to get you quite a bit. All you got to do is get them three or four or five times throughout a game, and it's big points. All you got to do is get them three or four or five times for chunk plays in a game, and all of a sudden now the defense coordinator is a little bit nervous about dialing up that pressure. But as long as you sit up there and run the play clock to one, get the line at the line of scrimmage, get false starts, Your quarterback can't settle in and read the defense. Your quarterback's got happy feet because he never looked at the secondary before snapping the football because he spent so much time trying to figure out what the protection's doing. As long as that's going on, the Texans aren't going to win games.
Yeah.
And so, again, we can talk about it, and we will, all the different pieces of this game that's coming down the pike here. But it's going to be about what D'Amico Ryans just said. Period, point blank. And they are really, really good at going, oh, you got a rookie left tackle? You're not going to give him no help over there? Oh, we're going to come at you. Right? You got it. You got a communication problem between your center and your quarterback, and it's 8 seconds left in the play clock. We're going to come at you.
I was going to say, they're going to be hard enough to deal with just a –
personnel-wise.
Yeah, personnel-wise, you, at the very least, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And what you're
– Well, I think C.J. Stroud is deadly enough in the pass game to overcome some of that. The problem is he's just, once he can't figure out what's going on up front, then all of a sudden his feet get happy. The ball starts coming out, you know, too early or too late, or you know, it becomes a problem. And that is, it's not just this game. This is what he just said is what this season's about.
All right, C.J. Stroud spoke as well. 3:40. If you want to check the podcast page, he spoke at the bottom of the 3 o'clock hour. And he talked about a big thing. We'll talk about this a little bit more coming up on the other side in 5 o'clock fire to give you an update. But he talked about seeing two of his top targets back on the practice field, Christian Kirk and, of course, his number one guy, Nico Collins.
Great. Yeah, it was great. It was great. I'm so happy they're back. You know, I know they're motivated, you know, to be out there and ball and, you know, do all the things that we need them to do, you know, to win more games. And, you know, it'll help our team even take us to another level. So I'm super happy they came back at the same time, too. But, yeah, I think it's going to be great for us.
Looks like them boys are going to be out there, Ron. And that Nick, yeah. That D'Amico said Nico is still in concussion protocol, but they expect him to pass in the next couple of days and get out of concussion protocol. Obviously, CJ feels like both of them are going to play on Sunday. This is huge for CJ. It's huge for the offense. Getting Nico Collins and Christian Kirk back is a huge shot in the arm in a good way for this offense. And shoot, man, CJ's got it. And Nick Cayley got to be absolutely stoked about it.
Yeah, yeah. And yes, they had a great performance from their passing game, especially what it is that they were able to do with Higgins and Noel and Hutchinson, Berrios included in that. But in no way do they have a better chance to win without especially Nico, but those two guys on the field. So that is big for CJ and Nick Cayley.
Look, let's be clear. Last week was good, but there was a lot of winning versus soft coverage, right? There was a lot of winning versus, hey, man, keep everything in front of you because we know we're not going to get much pressure. He's going to have some time. Keep everything in front of you. Don't give it the big play.
They're going to keep giving it to you. We're just going to keep
doing it. Right. The difference in last week and this week, other than obviously a better opponent, is that the secondary for Denver, no matter who's playing, the secondary for Denver, the style, the way they're going to approach defensive football is – we're going to try to suffocate you, and we're going to bank on the fact that our defensive front is going to collapse the pocket quick enough that you're not going to be able to hold the football. You're not going to be able to hold the football and wait for somebody to cross all the way across the field. You're not going to be able to hold the football and wait for a, you know, this scissors route 15 yards down the field or a deep post down. We're going to bank on you not being able to hold the football. It's got to come out. We're going to smother you, limit your options. Now you got to have guys that are better than us that can win. Another reason why it's so big that Nico and Christian look to be coming back.
Yeah, that's big. We'll get you more updates on the injury situation with the Texans coming up. And speaking of that, let's get to a little 5 o'clock fire as we roll through here on the drive. The Rockets, they're back in action as they take on the Toronto Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. The Toronto Raptors, a big night in Toronto. They'll take on the Raptors, who are struggling themselves. We'll get you caught up more on the injury report. The Texans have one of their starters on offense out. D'Amico Ryans will address that. And as I said, the Blue Jays, Dodgers, they played last night. Series tied game 5, all-important game 5 tonight. All of that as we continue right here live on the drive.